The U.S. government said that a maximum of 70,000 refugees could enter the country in the fiscal year 2003, but in the end, fewer than 30,000 made it through the screening process. Commentator Anna Ebra-Flaster was once herself a refugee. She feels like every new story she hears of refugees is an opportunity for what she calls refugee guilt.
I suffered my first bout of refugee guilt in 1967 as a six-year-old in a Lynbrook, New York, first-grade classroom. We'd arrived just a few weeks before as Cuban refugees, not migrants or rafters, as we are called now. After smiling at me for a while, my teacher showed me to my desk and handed me a box of crayons. I'm talking the waxy, perfect, never-been-touched kind. No more dried-up communist crayons for me. No, sir. I colored many a happy, palm-filled landscape that day. But refugee guilt sat behind me, telling me that back at the apartment, the grown-ups were only pretending to be happy, and that feeling this good about crayons was simply bad. Eventually, the grown-ups, after lots of time and a half shifts, and, well, just time, really, joined me in my materialistic free expression bliss. Refugee guilt gradually subsided, but it never fully disappeared. Even when I managed to avoid the latest story about Cubans being turned away from the U.S., refugee guilt still shows up. Last week, I bumped into it in our basement, where I found, yet again, the plastic tote with my cousin's drawings from his days as a Cuban refugee. He created them while being held for many months in a crowded refugee camp. In August of 94, Adrián tried to raft his way to the U.S. Due to a series of beyond bizarre events, he ended up back in Cuba, and by a circuitous route, his drawings ended up with me. They show the sea creatures he gazed on, the Coast Guard cutter Tampa that rescued him and his friends, the fences at the Guantanamo refugee camp. One of the black and white sketches shows a close-up of open-heart surgery in progress. Clamps and tools peel open the chest to reveal the heart, his heart, I'm sure, with the word hope in tiny red letters in the center. I wonder, for too long, how he got it, a red pen in a refugee camp. As a former child refugee and crayon lover, I appreciate Adrián's dedication to his craft. He sketched his story in pencil, paper, and smears of dirt and sand, whatever he could find. Now the drawings lay stashed in my dusty basement. I'll find them again and shuffle them around a bit, to this shelf or that corner, where I can find them, and then lose them again quickly, so they won't disrupt my neat American life too much. But I know that refugee guilt will lead me to them again, and it will force me to imagine the details of my cousin's dreams.
Anna Ebra-Flaster lives in Lexington, Massachusetts.